When you feel your voice is not being heard, please consider calling the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. The show wants to be the vehicle you can use to express your opinion or get your issue out to a larger audience. We're living in a time that we can no longer allow others to speak on our behalf. If you wish to be a guest on the show and discuss on the show what's important to you, call James T. Deshaies at 407-394-9819. Your issue or focus can be placed on the calendar. The show is live 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in 657-383-0309. We can no longer reside in the shadow of life. It's imperative that we're on top of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, as always, I am so delighted to be here with you and have this opportunity to share my thoughts with you and have you share your honest thoughts with me. I have to tell you, I've always told you that we're the kind of show that is going to take your input and allow you to interact with me and make a decision about what kind of things we will discuss on my show. And we are going to do that today. Somebody came up with the topic today, and I'm going to introduce the topic right after this commercial.
USI Never Had It So Good, 101.1 Radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music, The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday, talk radio with the best host in the business, sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper, Never Had It So Good Radio now on 101.1, and it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
You know, we want you to get in the habit of calling my show 657-383-0309 Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 8 o'clock at, on Saturdays at 8 p.m. Okay, we want you to get in the habit of doing that because we want you to light the boards up so that we can have a great conversation. Well, earlier today, I had someone text me and ask me a question. They were kind of like taking a survey. And the survey was, would I marry someone who has been married four times? And my response to that initially, right off the bat, you know, was just kind of thinking real quickly about that was, if that person could convince me that this time would be the last time. And that's kind of been my position. I've been married twice. I have been in love a number of times. I've only been engaged twice, but I've been married a number of, I've been in love a number of times. And those relationships were very serious for me. I don't take the relationships I get involved in, I don't take them haphazardly. So when I tell someone that I have deep feelings of love for them, that's very serious. That's not casual at all for me. That's not a word I use in a casual manner. So the truth is that I have been involved enough to have been married a number of times, but I've only been married twice. And I hope to get married a third time. Now, my thing about being married is that I don't know, and some people might think I'm crazy, but, you know, that's okay. I really, my failures related to marriage have not been traditional. You know, when I normally think of traditional failed marriages, I think of things like people being alcoholics or people falling prey to drugs or people not working consistently, that there being financial issues in the relationship. There's cheating in the relationship. So there are a lot of traditional things that I think help to end marriage, but none of those were the case with my marriages. And I don't fault either of the women that I married. I just think that it is very difficult to sustain a traditional marriage in this non-traditional world. We live in a world where both men and women can be breadwinners. We live in a world where women no longer have to depend on men as much as they used to. So there are, you have reasons now where women and men are just no longer happy, and they choose to end relationships that don't really have any downside in them, like the downsides we thought of in the past. I see no reason whatsoever for a relationship to come to an end if it is susceptible to violence or to damage, both mentally and physically. But if they're just some normal wear and tear on a marriage, you should be able to work your way through those things. But I don't think we're in a world that wants to work its way through anything anymore. I think now we find ourselves involved in relationships that pretty much might be in good shape, normally good shape, but we choose to end them because they don't give us the sparkle like a new car gives you. The car might be in good shape and it may be running okay, but you just want a different level of enjoyment that a new car can give you, so you trade the old car in. And so I think that is where we're headed in regards to how we deal with marriages. And so we find ourselves kind of giving up on them a little sooner than not. Now, there are always good reasons for giving up on a marriage. Certainly, if you're not emotionally connected in a marriage, and that's what marriage is about. If you're not emotionally connected to your spouse, you all don't seem to enjoy each other in the way a man and a woman should enjoy one another, then certainly could be a reason to end the marriage if you all can't get on one accord. But the question is now, can you marry someone who has been divorced four times? Audrey, are you there?
Good afternoon. Yes, this is Audrey, Lakeland, Florida.
How you doing, Audrey?
I am superior,
Audrey, someone posed a question to me today, and I hope there are a number of ladies out there so that we can get a number of different points of view. But could you marry someone that has been divorced four times?
I probably could, but I think a lot of things would have to be taken into consideration. I think you did a good job of highlighting some of the key, most common causes of divorce: fidelity, financial challenges, lack of communication, and lack of intimacy and emotional connection. Now, a person that has gone through divorces four times, I would think that I would be interested to see what they had learned. I would also like to see how long of a time had expired since they were involved from one relationship to the next. Being a divorced person myself, I originally felt that, oh, my God, that's a failure on me. And you go through those changes But you have to take time, I think, for yourself before you get into a serious relationship and identify, you know, what things went wrong, why they went wrong, and what role you played in that so that you won't repeat. If a person has gone through 4 divorces, I would be very interested to see if the cause was consistent. If it was, that person haven't gained anything. And, you might as well, I don't think I would spend my time with them. Now, you said it was interesting you asked the question if you would be engaged to them versus if you would marry them again, because being engaged to a person that still allows you time to be more specific of identifying if indeed they have learned. They can easily say that they've learned. Sometimes some go by and they can pretend. But the longer you're engaged, again, that true person would come out. So I say I may could. It would have to be a lot of different components that I would have to review and see first. And it just kind of depends on the individual.
Well, you know, there now we're living in a time when marriages end for all kind of reasons. So therefore, we have to recognize or respect that a person very well, starting at the age of 20 to the age of 60, may have gotten married 4 different times. And because of how people go into marriage now, that may be a normal thing in terms of that number. You know, because we're talking about, you know, years past, people were very committed to their marriages and they stayed married for a very long, long time. But now a lot of people go into marriage knowing that divorce is an option so they can always get out of it. So therefore, you know, that being said, there may be a lot more opportunity for a person to have a higher number level of divorces in their lifetime.
Yeah, but I think that's one of the components that you look at. Just because it's an easy out, if you would, you have to understand what's important to each of those individuals. Just because it's an easy out, I believe in marriage and the commitment of a lifetime. I believe in that. So I wouldn't go in thinking that, okay, if it don't work, you know, I can get a divorce and get out. That's not my position. Knowing that it's there, yeah, that's one thing, but I wouldn't go in thinking that, because if you do, I think you're already setting yourself up for failure, and you're not really setting yourself up for what true marriage is all about. But again, I think you would look at, see how much time has lapsed, because you need to, when you go through something like that, it's an emotional change, and you need to understand yourself, you know, before you get seriously connected with someone. And that's why I know that if you go directly from one relationship to the next, more than likely you didn't have an opportunity to focus on yourself. And no matter what the reason was, both parties played a role in it. So kind of set up a guarantee for the next one that you'll be better positioned, at least from your perspective, what to look out for, how to respond to certain things, such that you'll be closer to a more successful relationship.
All right, let's go to the phone lines and see if we can get some others to give us their opinion. 3766, 3766, give us your name and where you're calling from.
Regina, calling from Columbia.
I thought that was you, Regina, but I was scared to take a chance. How you doing, Regina?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing fine. The topic today is, if a man has been divorced 4 times, would you marry him a 5th time?
No.
Man or woman? No?
No. No,
wow, you
changed the question. You changed the question. You changed the question. The original question was it engaged?
Well, what I'm asking is, if he's been divorced 4 times, would you, I mean, if you're going to get engaged, that's saying you will get married.
Well, you still, you're going to use that engagement time still to determine some of the things that, some red flags and that kind of stuff. So, no, engagement is different from being married.
Well, I think that when you accept his engagement ring, you say, yes, I will marry you. Isn't that what it says, Regina?
It does. It does, but it still give you some time. It still give you some time.
No, you ain't supposed to be looking for no outs when you accept that ring.
I would.
Okay,
I would,
Regina, you quickly said no, so I want you to tell me why are you so definite about saying no?
If someone has been married 4 times, I'm a firm believer in the fact that if something continuously happens wrong, there's a common denominator in that. Turn right here. There's a common denominator in that, and that common denominator is that person. So if that person has been married 4 times and none of those marriages work, either something is within that person that's a problem, or that person is not a good judge of character, and he or she has chosen the same type of person each time. And
well,
so,
I think that's the key.
I
think you're on it. I think the person did not learn from the previous. They truly did not learn. Like I say, I think they have to take some time. They have to reevaluate some things, and really, what did they learn? But if they just move from one relationship to the next,
Audrey, I disagree with you. I'm going to say to you that I've been married twice. I didn't choose to leave or to end either one of those relationships. And there was no serious, there was nothing seriously wrong with the relationships. I mean, there was no violence in the relationship. There was no drug abuse. There was no alcoholism. There was no unemployment. I mean, there were nothing in either of those relationships that I would suggest that was the normal reason for divorce. So as I might enter the third relationship, I'd like to say that, hey, no harm, no foul. I should get a buy on those first two because they weren't my fault.
Well, I think you should have learned something, though. It don't necessarily have to be your fault just because you're no longer married. But, again, you still have an opportunity to learn something that you'll take to that next situation. I will venture to say that you had an opportunity to learn something from both of them, whether it was positive or opportunity-wise. I would think that would be my question to the person. What did they learn? I would need to know, you know, what happened, and not just from that person's perspective, because from that person's perspective, they may not have taken the time to really truly evaluate. When I say, did you learn something from it? Did you take time to really evaluate it? And then once you evaluate it, what did you do with that information? How did you utilize that to mitigate that from occurring in the future? So whether it was your fault or not, I would think that you learned something from both of those marriages, wouldn't you say?
But you cannot, because you're into in a marriage with another individual, you have to realize you have to honor their choices. And you may not want to end a relationship. You may have not done anything to harm the person in a relationship, but you still have to honor the fact that they have the right to either stay with you or to move on. And so because you're not in these relationships alone, the decision is not one of your own making. What are your thoughts, Regina?
I still say that evidently the same type of person was chosen. If the first person did not have a commitment to marriage and was not willing to stick in with the relationship, then that relationship ended, and you moved on to the next relationship, and you did not have a long enough engagement to see whether or not that person had true commitment to a relationship, then you chose the same type of person, a person with a lack of commitment. And you just can't continue to choose those same types of people. If I meet someone who has chosen the same type of person three or four times, and I get to see why, or he's telling me what the situation was, and he's not taking, he may not be taking any type of, I don't know what the word is, he may not be saying that he had any role in the situation. And he's
ownership.
Saying, well, it wasn't his ownership. He's not taking ownership to the situation. That right there is an issue, because it takes two. So he did not take ownership to the fact that he chose the same type of people two, three, or four times.
You can't know what is in a person's mind. When I ask you or ask anybody, listen, are you committed to this relationship? Are you willing to go the distance? Will you be willing to, you know, marry me until death do you part? That person may say yes. And then, but you still don't know what they are feeling behind that yet. So there are people who lie about what their level of commitment is, and you wouldn't know that until after you gotten into the relationship.
Yeah, but what examples did you put them into during that relationship or during that engagement? Not only to answer verbally, you're not going to go by what they say verbally. I mean, you will go by what they say verbally, but that's not enough. You go ahead and put them in situations, and you find out.
That's why the engagement period is so important.
They may very well be telling you everything that you want to hear. I mean, it happens all the time. You hear people say, well, I'm going to keep a job, I'm going to do this, I'm going to stay away from drugs. They tell you what you want to hear, but after you get in the relationship is when the rubber meets the road, and until you know, you don't know.
Well, you're saying after you get into the relationship, but remember now, the relationship is the engagement piece and then the actual marriage piece. That engagement piece has to be long enough for you to be engaged in the relationship, to see the pros and cons of the relationship, to see the commitment level in the relationship. If you're engaged for a year, 2 years, a leopard doesn't change his spots, and you can see what's going to be going on after the marriage occurs if that engagement is long enough. If the person is in and out of a job during the engagement, they're going to be in and out of a job during the marriage. If they dibble and dabble in drugs during the engagement, they're going to dibble and dabble in drugs during the marriage. That is when you have a chance to see.
Regina, how many times have people said you don't really know what a person is like until you live with them? Now, come on now. You know there are a lot of people who get married, who believe one thing about their spouse, and until they start living with that person, they truly don't know who that person is. So, you know, you got to be fair to know that once you get married, 1 or 2 years, that sometimes is not even enough to tell you what that person is going to be like to live with them day in and day out.
Well, all I can say is, as for me and my house, if you've been in four different houses, I can't have you in my house. That's as for me in my house.
And I would say, too, that there's going to be some indicators. You may not know, but there are indicators. And
what,
like I said, what you would have learned for yourself over time is that what you really need to look out for. Regina made a good point of if you keep picking the same type of person, you're not going to get a different response. So that's the reason why you have to pull away, take time for yourself. I want to know how much time was between those situations, because did they pull away and truly learn? Did they truly identify what went wrong? Okay, what am I going to do about that? As she said, the ownership piece, what role did I play? Oh, I could say, yeah, that person did it, whatever. But okay, then, well, what role do I play? Because as I look for my future, a couple of years down the road or whatever, however long it takes me to really know myself and identify, you know, certain characteristics or certain traits that I need to avoid, I don't need to be, I won't get really serious with someone. It just don't happen. You have to take care of yourself and know yourself first. But again, there will be some indicators. Now, whether you want to recognize those flags or not, that's up to you. But they will be there. And then I don't care how smooth they can talk, but indicators are there.
Now,
I think there are
thousands and thousands and thousands of people who get married every year, and there's almost a 50% divorce rate. So, therefore, there are a lot of people who get married fully believing that that relationship is going to work and that they have all the answers that they need in order to make the decisions that they've made. And 50% of the time, out of the other 50%, there might be even more, about 20% of that 50% that aren't happy. So, there are a lot of people thinking.
It's not that they know the person. I think that times have changed. Like you say, a person going in now is not the same as the commitment level between the two people of years past. And that's part of it. A lot of people get together, hey, man, it's no problem. I know I can get out of this. And they just, so it's not like the person changed on them. They're just going in knowing that, hey, if it don't work, I know I can get out of it. No harm, no foul. So it's not necessarily that they didn't know that person. They just going in with that attitude. It's unfortunate, but it's true.
Well, how do you avoid
that? That's why you
that
see
attitude?
That people trying to have more that counseling sessions and stuff. Than in the past, because we have to recognize there's a reason why that number is increasing so significantly. Our culture has changed, and that's the reason why, you know, you have counseling, true counseling workshops and conferences, and and really, again, you have to really do some work. Marriage is work. Marriage is work.
And you know, I'm going to be very, very, very transparent right now with you guys, in that as I'm starting a new relationship, I'm looking at red flags that are popping up now. And just today, earlier, I was thinking, you know, I see a red flag. Am I willing to stick in here and see where that red flag is, you know, how it's going to wave, or am I going to just jump ship? Well, in my mind, I figured if I jump ship, I'm not showing a level of commitment to the relationship to see where it may go, to see if there's some counseling that can occur to help that this situation. But also, on the other hand, I'm looking at, you're not stupid. You see something that's happening. It's up to you to determine whether or not you're going to stick in there and see. And if it's something that's happening that you don't like, you don't go any further after you've made the decision after you've given it a try. Why would you get into something that you know is not of your pleasing, doesn't please you? And I think a lot of times people are just not honest with themselves. I've got to be honest with myself. Is this something that I want to stick in? Is this something that I'm going to endure? The answer, I don't know. But the answer also is that I'm not going to make a long-term commitment to something if I'm not sure of that I'm going to be able to handle it in the long term, in the long run.
Amen. Continue to watch it.
All right,
well,
we're going to take a short break. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back, and we're going to finish our discussion. And I'm going to throw a few dark into the conversation.
I Am This Woman by James Deshaies. I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination. I am this woman who maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my Creator to scale the heights of the unbound, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those who've yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all who walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future. I am this woman.
All right, this is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And we're discussing, would you marry someone who has been divorced 4 times, become engaged with the hopes of being married? Would you take that on? And as we have talked to Audrey and Regina, we've heard a lot of things, and one of the terms that I've heard used a lot is red flag. Now, I know what a red flag is, and certainly when someone, you see a red flag, you may should make some kind of notation of what it is that may bring a problem to the relationship, the longevity of the relationship. But are you requiring people to be perfect, Regina?
No, I'm not requiring
anybody to be perfect.
No, I'm not requiring anybody to be perfect. I'm requiring myself to be reflective of what it is that I want. And if a person is not, has the attributes of someone that I don't think I would be able to work with, to work it out with, then it's not, I've said it before, it's not that person, it's me. And I take full ownership of it. It's me. And I have a right to have the beliefs that I have and the desires that I have. And if a person doesn't have what I want, then it's not that person because that is that person's personality. But it is also my choice as to whether or not I want it. Or whether or not I'm going to deal with it. So I'm going to say the old thing, hey, it's not you, it's me. I take it, it's me.
Audrey, are you requiring men to be perfect?
No, absolutely not. And I think Regina is on point. That's why you learn and know yourself and what it is that you expect. Now, what we are saying when we say red flags, those are red flags on items in which we consider deal breakers. Because we know each of us are imperfect. That means all of us are going to carry something. And we've talked on the show before, and it is my belief that every family is dysfunctional. Dysfunctional because everybody has a cross that they're bearing. I don't believe in this philosophy of a functional family. I just think everyone has problems, but it's how you work through those problems and how you address those problems. So when we say red flags, it's not just because somebody doesn't, but we all have pet peeves, and we have certain things that are indicators as it relates to deal breakers for us. those are the items or those are the actions, those are the behaviors in which we will not continue to pursue the relationship. Because that's a warning to us when we discuss identifying the type of person that we select, their characteristics, their traits that are in common, then it behooves us to make sure that if we see similar flags, we surely don't want to go down that path again. So that's what I'm referring to when I say red flags. It's not that I'm looking for a person to be perfect, by no means, because you're going to go from one person to the next. You're going to have to determine what baggage or what situation you're going to willing to put up with and what you are not. So.
Well,
but it's not about perfection.
The thing that I bring to the table, and I want the female to bring the same thing to the table, is if we're deciding that we like each other's company, we like the warmth that we feel in the connection, then that we'll be willing to address those things that might be an issue. And if you're willing to address those things that might be an issue, and you're not saying, oh, well, this is me, you got to take me or leave me, I think it's when people suggest that you have to take them or leave them that is, when you bring about deal breakers, because I want to believe that if a person is willing to work on their red flag in order for the betterment of the relationship, you know, it's one thing to say, this is who I am when you walk in alone, but it's another thing to say, I'm going to do what's in the best interest of us because we want to walk together.
Well, yes, and that's why, yeah, you'll present that issue or concern to that person. Yeah, you're going to talk about it. That's the communication piece. But that's when we're saying that we're going to have enough time to go by to make sure that we observe those actions, not just verbal lip service. And we're going to put you in enough situation, and not purposely. It's just over time it's going to come up. And that situation and will be determined how you handle that and how you respond to it.
And,
yeah, if you really want
the
relationship to continue, yeah, you discuss it and just say, this is a concern of mine, but you have to understand it. That person has to take it serious enough to know that if it's concerned, are they willing at that point to adhere and make some tweaks and adjustments to that, because that's important to you. That's what love is. You give your best for others, so are you willing to do that?
And you have
You
have to also continuously make these tweaks. Don't just make these tweaks for a week or two and then fall back into the same pattern. And a lot of times that is what happens. You make these tweaks and it looks like, okay, everything is fine. But then as soon as that ring is on the hand and then that other ring is on the hand, you fall back into that pattern that you had in the beginning of the relationship.
But shouldn't both parties seek to do what's in the best interest of the relationship? In order to make it have longevity, there has to be willingness to compromise on both people's parts, don't there?
I don't think either of us has said that there should not be compromise. There's compromising when you say, okay, I'm going to work towards this relationship, and the other person says, okay, I'm going to do what I have to do to make this relationship work. One person does what they have to do to make the relationship work. One person expresses what it is that they see is troubling the relationship, and vice versa. So it takes two, and each person has to have the willingness to do what it takes to make the relationship work.
RJ, let me ask you this and put you on the spot. What would be a pet peeve for you that would be outside of the let's say the four, like, okay, we know cheating and financial, an unwillingness to provide financially, a lack of commitment, and being involved in alcoholism and drugs. what would be something that you, on a smaller scale, that would be a pet peeve, you would consider to be a pet peeve?
I'm the type of person that my love language is time. And when I say time together, it's the value of time together. It encompasses intimacy. It encompasses affirmation. It encompasses, again, our walk in growing and knowing and doing God's will. It's those type of things. So how you utilize the time, because I work, the person may or may not work, but the time that we do spend together, how do we utilize that time outside the big four that you mentioned? That's a key piece to me of how they really treat me and how they work towards us growing together and doing God's will.
Okay. Regina, what is a pet peeve of yours that are outside the big ones? What are some pet peeves you have?
My one pet peeve is lack of communication. And when I say lack of communication, I mean because I work constantly, and the person that I have in mind as I'm speaking works constantly. Just a simple text, how's your day going? A phone call, hi, how are things going? I love you, or whatever, or and I can't wait to see you. That type of communication. And if we plan to do something, keeping the plan, keeping the commitment and to do whatever it is, maybe if we're going to go to the park on a specific day, and if something comes up, don't just let it come up and don't communicate that something came up. Don't be I had to, my mom called or something like that. Be a communicator. That is a huge deal breaker with me.
Is there an adequateness of making sure that you adhere to, and I guess that means that you want the person to adhere to dates. You want the person to be attentive enough to remember important dates. Those things are a part of communication, remembering dates and doing special things related to those dates.
That would be a plus. I always hear people giving men excuses. Well, men just don't do this, and men are just not communicating. Men don't, and so with that being said, I can give you a buy on not remembering, but if I put it on the calendar, or if I tell you, hey, our anniversary is coming up, then I expect you to remember that once I've said it.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I would agree with that, but I think more important to me is I prefer the cause of no reason. I mean, I just like just because it's the day, just because I am who I am. I mean, don't get me wrong. If I tell them, they should remember it, and that's good and that's important. But it's more important for no reason. I think you keep that interest going that way, and it don't have to be anything elaborate. As Regina mentioned, a nice text to say, I surely can't wait till we get together again. Or making sure that you're in tune to what that person is going through. And I knew you had a big day today. I surely hope it works out well for you. But then you remember enough of whatever time you thought it was going to occur again a little bit after that time. How did it go? You got a minute you want to share? It's those type of follow-ups.
All right. Well, we're going to take our second break today, and then we'll come back and finish out the show.
Down, 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 down
right. This is your host, James T. Deshay of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I want to encourage you all to go to my website, www.jamestdeshay.com. That's www.jamestdeshay.com. I want you to go there and look around and tell me what you think. Look around, kick the tires, and give me some of your comments, and let me know if I'm headed in the right direction. I want to go back to Regina and Audrey and ask them about accountability. How does a man and a woman prove that they're accountable to their spouse? And does accountability help to go a long way in keeping longevity in the relationship? Audrey?
That's an interesting question. First, let me answer the last part first. Accountability is a key component, and the behaviors of demonstrating accountability is demonstrated in different ways, and I think in different relationships. But I think one that would be common would be, Regina touched on it earlier by saying, you know, deliver on your commitment. If indeed we have agreed upon something, then deliver on that commitment. Therefore, you are demonstrating being held accountable. Touching bases and communicating, that's another form of being accountable and sharing that reassurance of that person, just, again, entrusting that they can count on you.
Regina, what are your thoughts about accountability?
Well, I'll just go ahead and, as I said before, being very transparent, you know, this program gets me into trouble because as we discuss our issues and I form opinions, I really do try to use these opinions, this forum, in my everyday life. And I've been told that I need to stop being a counselor because When things come up, I reflect upon what we've discussed. And just as you all just said, accountability. Now, some men may take being held accountable as being held as being bossy, or trying to control them. Just because I'm holding you accountable for what you said you're going to do, am I trying to control you? And when you get into discussions or you hold someone accountable, it can flip and turn the whole situation to possibly your detriment, but not really your detriment, because it turns out to be a good thing if you found out that the person really isn't going to hold on to what they're what they've said they're going to do. Accountability is a big piece, but are you holding them accountable or are you controlling them?
Well, let me ask you this question, and because I think accountability is important, and I believe that there's some things you should hold a person to no matter what. No matter if they're adults or not, you know that they're adults. You're in an adult relationship. But if a person should be home at a certain time and you know what that time is and they're aware of what that time is and something keeps them from getting there at that specific time, then they should care enough about you to call and tell you what the problem is. You know, I had to stop by the store. I had to, you know, I got a flat tire. But if you expect your spouse to be home by 9 and they're not home until 12, to me that's a lack of accountability, because once you get married, I have the right or the desire, because of my love for you, to know that you're safe and that you are in a specific place at a specific time. And it has nothing to do with you being an adult. It has to do with the fact that we're in a relationship, and that should be on a requirement that you should not feel unable to give your partner. The other thing I'd like to ask both of you, do you think you should have access to your spouse's cell phone, Audrey?
Yes, and they could have access to mine, too, because if I don't have anything that I'm hiding, I have no problem with it. And in most cases, I know people feel, you know, you have to have personal space. You have to have personal items, and I understand that, but I need to have access to, with the way technology is now and that kind of stuff like that, yes, I would want to have access to it. And if you have a problem with it, then I want to understand why. Why would you have a problem with it? Because in most cases, I'm not going to check it anyway. But if you have a concern with me having access to be able to check it in, I'm sure that's the reason why.
Okay. Regina, do you need access to your spouse's cell phone?
I don't know if I need it. I would love it if they would volunteer access to it. Other than that, I think I really could care less either way. It really doesn't matter. I have so much going on with me. I don't have time to be thinking about all that mess. Because anything, look, if it doesn't come out in the wash, if it doesn't come out in the stuff, whatever, what is to be known will eventually be known.
All right. Well, we're at the 4-minute mark. I'm going to take one more short break, and we'll come back and end the show and give you all the last word related to the show. The host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I want to go on record and just let everyone know that I am addicted to love. I think there is nothing more enjoyable, more fulfilling than having an opportunity to truly love and care for another individual in a relationship or connection that makes it truly special. So, Audrey, what are your thoughts related to love and connection, and what is it that draws you to the need to have that kind of relationship?
I think we were created to have that relationship, and it's very important. I'm a very passionate, intimate person, and I think the Lord created us to be that way. If you notice, when a baby is born, I mean, they need to be touched, they need to be held. It's just part of their growth. And it's just good to know that you have someone that can support you, not just physically, but, of course, mentally, emotionally, and, of course, spiritually.
All right. Regina, your thoughts, what it is that compels you to want love in your life?
Listening to you all and listening to you all and how you all express your love for your mates, and you all compel me to want to have that type of relationship with someone special. That's what compels me, and I thank you all for it.
Well, I think we're all trying to find it and embrace it. And I know I write a lot about it, and I'm consumed by it. And so I just want to say to everybody, I want it for you just like I want it for me. So I'm going to say goodbye, and let's have a great – I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. on Monday.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 Radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
Ain't no different second when the king goes.